En av mina första intervjuer någonsin var 2001 med Ronnie James Dio. Då var det en telefonintervju mitt i natten finsk tid. Jag vill minnas att intervjun var 000, alltså vid minnet. Då var det i och med hans då nya album som heter Killing the Dragon. Jag hade flera möjligheter att träffa Ronnie James Dio och han var alltid en 100% gentleman. Alltid så artig och trevlig. Och då jag träffade honom i Helsingfors i december 2005 så bjöd han till och med på öl. Han sa åt sin assistent strax före vår intervju, pekades på en ölflaska. Och så sa han, would you get some of these babies for me and Joe? Han hörde mitt namn fel och trodde att det hette Joe alltså. I och med att detta var strax före jul så började jag med att berätta åt Ronnie att jag nyss innan intervjun hade drömt en juldröm om honom.
Last week I had a dream that I spent my Christmas with you. Yeah, you were having this show and just before the show you told me, hey, how we let's go to America and spend Christmas. So, okay, and then we took the plane and that was it.
Did I buy you nice presents?
We ate at this big, huge table. I remember. How will you spend Christmas?
I'll eat at a huge table. Okay. Yeah, I'll just you know, I'm quite low key actually. I'll just be home with my family and we live in Los Angeles, so it's, you know, there's no snow.
Yeah.
We put a tree up, you know, all the usual things. You know, I'm from New York originally, so I'm used to the snow, and so you kind of miss it for Christmas. It doesn't seem like Christmas, you know. You go outside and sun is shining, people have shorts on and t-shirts. It's not quite the same, but we celebrate Christmas the same way all the time. I think it's a routine that you get into when you're, you know, from when you're a kid.
Yeah. You just mentioned the long tour you have. You know, you had several gigs in Russia and even in the Ukraine. How were these gigs?
They were all really wonderful. I mean, I think that I've been there twice before, but both times only in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and it was didn't know really what to expect from the rest of it. We talked to the Deep Purple guys who had done a long tour in Russia, talked to Scorps who had done a long tour in Russia, and they were all saying things like, bring toilet paper, bring a lot of food, bring this and bring that. You know, so of course, stupidly, we brought everything we possibly could, thinking that it was going to be a nightmare. And it was absolutely wonderful. Hotels were first class, the people were first class, the food was great. It was just a magnificently wonderful, wonderful tour. I enjoyed every bit of it. Ukraine was cool. Our last show was in Minsk in Belarus. They were all great. Audiences were fantastic. And I never needed the toilet paper, never needed the food. It was great. It was a great tour.
So what did you do with all the toilet paper? Did you, like, throw it?
I just left it there. Just left it there. No, I wouldn't do that. I want to make a mess because I'm still not quite sure that the KGB's gone away, so I don't want them to see me throwing something out the window, you know? Take me away. Come here, sir.
Okay.
No. But it was great. I had a great time. People were just wonderful, and the women are so absolutely beautiful. It's just unbelievable. The women in Kiev are the most beautiful women I've ever seen on the face of the planet, and in Moscow, and in St. Petersburg, and in most of the places. I mean, you just have a bus full of, you know, guys going down the road, and all you hear is, "Whoa, look at that!"
Några dagar innan jag träffar Ronnie James Dio så drömde jag att vi firar jul tillsammans. Vi satt i ett stort bord och åt på Tumis. Fin era sändning till egentligen inte jul med Dio, tyvärr. Och 2005 var det inte ännu så vanligt att göra långa turnéer i Ryssland. Nu för tiden gör ju många band om, framförallt rockband och heavyband och punkband. Men då, på den tiden så var det ändå så här max 2 gigs. Det var gig i St. Petersburg och Moskva och dessutom. Och alla band skippa Vitryssland och Ukraina. Och Dio hade dragit till och med en lång turné i Ryssland strax före vår intervju. Och där var det här, mottagningen var helt magisk. Hans kollegor, till exempel Deep Purple, hade sagt att jo, när du nu far sen dit i Ryssland så ta nu med vässapapper och ta med massa mat, för att det är nog så fattigt där att de har nog inte just något där. Och Dio tog med sig då lite mat och vässapapper och helt i onödan. Maten var strålande där, allt fanns där, hotellrummen var bra och kvinnorna var ytterst vackra.
I read something really interesting here a while ago, actually. You have done your film debut.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, I did a part in a film called Tenacious D with Jack Black and Kyle Gass. They appeared on a video that we did for the album Killing the Dragon, a song called Push.
Yeah, I remember.
And they did a busking part in the front of it. And when they finished, Jack said to me, Kyle and I are writing a film, and when we finished with it, will you be in the film? And I said, of course I will. So he said, we'll probably be ready for it in a couple of years. Well, it was about 4 years after that. And I got a call from Jack. Jack said, we're finally making a film, and I want you to play the part of Ronnie James Dio. He said, and if you don't, I'm not going to make the film. And he said, well, I probably will, but it won't be very good without you. I said, of course, I told you I'd do it. I'll be fun to do it. So it's more about his life and how the band started, his life as a kid and his father, you know, thinking that the music that he listened to was evil, you know, Dio and AC/DC. And in my scene, his father throws his guitar out the window and tells him he's not to listen to this horrible, evil stuff anymore, and slams the door in his room, and he's only 10 years old at the time. And there's a poster of me on the back of the door, and I come alive. He sings to me and says, please, Dio, tell me what to do. I want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I sing and tell him what to do, go to Hollywood. There you'll meet so-and-so. You'll meet someone who'll be very important to your career, and there you'll succeed, and you'll become famous, and you'll rock. And that was my part. So it was more a singing part. I sang and came alive and did that part, and just a few other little things. But, you know, not much of an acting debut. I mean, singing is what I do, so I didn't really have to act for that one. But it was a song that he wrote, and it was just wonderful to do. He's such a good friend, and he's such a great man. He's such a talented man in all ways. Not only is he an actor, but he's a hell of a singer and a good writer as well. But I was just glad to do it for Jack, because he's such a great fan of mine, and he just always has been. And it's nice that when people that you admire you back. That's a really, really nice thing. So that was my film debut, and I don't plan on doing a lot more of them, but you never know.
Yeah. Did you have any similar problems as the boy in the movie when you were younger, like you wanted to listen to rock and roll when somebody prohibited you?
No, never. No. My mother and father were always supportive of what I wanted to do, as long as I did the things that they felt were important to them, such as get an education. Because, you know, parents always have that attitude, well, you need something to fall back on just in case you don't succeed. You know, and yeah, of course, there's a chance that you won't succeed, but I never felt that. But they were correct, you know, thinking that, you know, it's a cruel, hard business to be in, and maybe you won't succeed in it, so then you can become what you want to get your education for. But no, they were always on my side, and all they wanted me to do was get the education, and I did, and they've been my strongest supporters always. They're just great people. So, no, I never had that problem ever. Anyway, you know, I'm not the kind of person it's hard for people to tell me what to do. You know, I just, parents included, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. I'll go away and do it myself, because that's what I wanted to do in my life. But I had never had a problem, no, never.
Ronnie James Dio höll på med sin skådisdebut då jag intervjuade honom i ishallen i december 2005. Jack Black var ett stort fan av Ronnie och ville ha honom med i sin film Tenacious D, The Pick of Destiny. Och Dio skulle i filmen spela Dio. Jack och Dio hade blivit mycket goda vänner och de beundrar varandra väldigt stort. Och i filmen, det är alltså här i början, för er som har sett den här filmen, så där i början så är det alltså en scen var en ung pojke är på sitt rum och han ber till en Dio-affisch och sen vaknar Dio då i liv där från affischen och sjunger åt pojken och sådär. Och det här var då alltså i och med att den här pojkens pappa förbjuder sonen att öra tid på rockmusik och vet du, att kasta ut hans gitarr och sådär. Ronnie själv, han fick alltid stöd av sina föräldrar och så länge han då gick skolan till slut så fick han göra vad han ville.
You're touring now here in Scandinavia at least with Asia and Uriah Heep, which are also very experienced artists, mm-hmm. Also, you've toured with a lot of different bands. So what are the biggest differences between touring with really experienced bands, like for instance Uriah Heep and Asia, than touring with newer bands?
Well, I think for a start, most of the older bands, I know them. You know, I've known the guys in Uriah Heep for, you know, so many years now. The Asia guys, I don't really know that well. I met the singer John, and they're really nice people. I think everything just runs smoother. You know, there's not, you know, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get an experienced band, and all they do is bitch about what they don't have. You know, well, you know, we've only got this much time to play. Well, that's what you signed the contract for. I mean, we've done that before. We've, you know, done shows with Deep Purple and Scorpions. One with Alice and Motorhead, and you know, we didn't complain about what our position was or how much time we had, because that's what we accepted to do. And once you accept it, but you know, we're a different breed of animal. Our people really look after everybody on the road, because we know. I always remember what it was like when you're treated badly as a young band. I refuse to have anyone treated badly, especially someone who's proven themselves over the years, like Heap and Asia. So I guess the difference is that they don't really complain as much as. as people who had never done it before. But then again, the excitement isn't quite the same either. A young band is out there, they're excited, they've never done it before, and they want to please the audience, and usually they have so much, but you know, I can't speak for your Rye Heap. I mean, I don't know how they feel about it, and I know that they all play well, they and Asia, you know, it's a different situation. You've done this so long, it becomes kind of a way of life, and okay, see you, bye. You know, I just think there's a lot more excitement with younger bands.
All right. You are really loved and respected in everywhere in the world, here in Finland also. You've been in the business for a long time. Mm-hmm. But do you remember, like, in your own early days, was it tough to win the crowd over in the beginning, you know, remember?
You know, I don't know if it was or not. You know, I've always relied on hard work, on being dedicated to what I've done, and knowing that I could sing well. Being able to sing well was always the easiest way to get to a crowd. I never liked to talk to an audience. I like to talk. I like to talk to people. I like to know about their lives and how it affects me. But an audience is a different animal. And you know, to me, it's always been about the music. Here's the music. It speaks for itself. I don't have to sit there and bore you for 10 minutes with something that you don't want to hear just because I'm so full of myself and looking at my own ass. You know, that's silly. So in the old days, you know, I didn't want to talk to the men either. Okay, here we go. And we just played and played and played and played. And sure, there were times when it was difficult. There were times when, you know, an audience didn't like what you did. You know, we always eventually went off on a different... At one point, we just went, never again will we do any cover material. We're just, from now on, we're only going to do our own music, and that was with Elf. And never talked to the audience. We just went up, turned our amps on, played for 2 hours, and blew everybody's brains out. And that's what I always wanted to do, and that's really the way I still feel about it now. But, you know, there were times when you played for audiences who didn't warm up to you right away. But once again, I think that the talent figure comes out. I think that if you're good at it, people are going to have to sit there and go, wow. They were good. But yeah, but everybody can't like you. Yeah. So it wasn't that difficult for me. It never was. Like, once again, I think, you know, I had great musicians that I played with. And again, I think I was quite good at what I did. So there weren't many problems, no.
All right. I think we have to make room for the next interview. I'll just ask you briefly about next year and the forthcoming album. Mm-hmm. What does 2006 looks like for Dio?
Well, hopefully it'll be with Doug. You know, who again is back with us again. What we'll do is we'll probably start writing in January, and then I have to do a couple scene reshoots for Jack's film in January, but that'll only take me a day, I'm sure. And so we'll do some writing then. Then there will be some other projects, I'm sure, that are going to come up that I have to do. So that'll stop that motion. And then I think there's some kind of small touring. It's in March in South America, so that'll stop that process. And in May is the thing that I'm going to do with Tony for the Sabbath box set. So that'll stop the progress again. So I would say, well, all those things will happen, but the main consideration is writing another album with Doug, and releasing it probably at the end of the year, because there's just too much going on. You know, just too much.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, looking forward to it, and hope to see you in Finland back soon.
Thank you, Joe. Well, we love it here, and like you said before, we've always been really admired and appreciated here, and it's great to come back to a place where people really care about you, and we care about them too. I think everyone knows that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Dio turnerar med Uriah Heep och Asia just då 2005, då jag träffade Ronnie James Dio. Lite lättare att turnera med såna erfarna musiker. Det är också på det sättet lättare att man känner ju typerna, oftast från många år bakåt, så man har en gemensam historia. Men det som är dock bättre enligt Dio med att turnera med lite yngre musiker, att ivern är större hos yngre. Nu är de här gamla gubbarna också det här ivriga, men att den är ändå större hos yngre helt enkelt. Dio själv är bland de artigaste och vänligaste människorna jag någonsin har träffat. Han erkänner dock att det där, han är inte någon stor vän av mellanspeak. Han tycker om att sjunga, han tycker om att vara på scenen, han tycker om att underhålla människor, men han tycker inte om liksom att prata. Och det är liksom därav det så kan någon tro att han då är en diva. Ronnie hade många järn i elden när jag snackade med honom. Ny Dio-platta, Tenacious D-filmen, några nya låtar med Black Sabbath-gitarristen Tony Iommi. Mycket var på gång december 2005. Ronnie James Dio dog i maj 2010 i magcancer.